'Twas the month before a new album, and all throughout Taylor Nation, not a Swiftie could sleep from the anticipation. Easter eggs had been placed by the mastermind herself, while fans pieced together the meanings they held. Friends' profile pics changed, she wore black at every site, but then arrived at the Grammys in head-to-toe white? With Swiftie investigations, dissecting subtext, she had us all fooled that Rep TV would be next. When up on the stage, she started her speech. Our jaws dropped to the floor as she announced TTPD. We brushed to our phones, we scoured TikTok for the signs that we missed as we all were in shock. We devoured the track list, tried to predict our top songs. Are they about Travis or Joe? We'll know soon, it won't be long. And so here we are, realizing we're all just puppets as Taylor pulls the strings of her tortured Swifties department. Welcome back, Swifties. Mac is still on paternity leave. So you've got Sarah today, but I have more really, really special guests, and we're going to continue on with the Torture Poets Department review cycle. And I think that we have like a really fun episode planned. So I'm just going to get right into it. Like, I just like don't think I have any housekeeping up top. So I'm so excited to introduce friends of the pod, supporters of the pod, K-Bass and Todd.
Hello.
Hi.
We're so excited. It's an honor.
Such an honor.
I saw Adam last week.
You think?
I mean, your old marriage and your love of Taylor Swift.
You're definitely right. Here's one thing. He's really like logical and like very, very thoughtful about how he talks about all things in his life. Since we have gotten on the mic, I've gone through like a really like kind of darker cycle with this album that I'm like, I feel like I need to like, I just like really need to like let the like a little bit of like the mental illness come out. And I feel like you guys like the dramas.
We hate drama.
Us, no.
Never.
We're new. Our group chat name. Can I tell them our group chat name?
Go for it.
Our group chat name is Real Housewives of America. So, like, that just, like, gives a little bit of an insight. Okay. I'd like to hear from each of you. Todd, all of you go first. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this album. Let's keep it high level, but like, what's been your journey so far? Like, we're not even a week, we're like 5 or 6 days.
Yes. I like don't know how to keep anything brief, but I will try. I think I've told you this. I compare this album to Midnights in the sense that I feel like Midnights was a slow burn for me. I feel like in the beginning, I just was not feeling it. And you told me this, and I think probably since then, I've like taken everything into account with this of like Taylor's albums sometimes are a slow burn and like you may not get it immediately, but once you listen to the lyrics and all the sounds, like everything's so intentional that like you kind of start to enjoy it more. And I feel like that's kind of where I'm at with the new album. It took me a minute, especially with 31 songs in the beginning. I felt like all the songs sounded the same, but I've been listening to it like nonstop for the last like 2 or 3 days and I'm starting to find my favorites. But I've also been a long time Swiftie, so this is kind of par for the course.
Were you, I actually, like, I know that you love so much on Reputation. Like, I know Getaway Car is, like, one of your favorites of all time. Did you, like, I don't know this, though. Did you, like, stay with Taylor through Snakey? Because, like, you also love Kim K.
I do love the Kardashians. they do know, well, they do wrong, but, like, for like more high level things for a gay, they serve their purpose. But I think that I did because I liked the drama of it all. Like when I feel like when Taylor wiped her entire Instagram, like every artist does that now, but like when she did it, it felt like revolutionary, not to be dramatic, but like when the snake videos came out, I feel like it was fascinating. I feel like Reputation was easy to follow because we all saw what happened. And we, like, even though, like, Miss Americana came out, we saw more behind the scenes. Like, I feel like we kind of like knew what was going to happen with Reputation. So
yeah,
I liked it. But
okay, I'm happy.
Number one. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm happy to hear that because I honestly didn't know like what your situation was.
I don't know if that's a bad thing that I stayed through with all that, but yeah. But I will say.
No, I did. You know, I did.
To go against the Kardashians for a second, I saw some like People Magazine article or something that Kim was like, I want to be away from the drama. And everyone's like, you're the bully. You can't just decide when like the victim gets over the drama that you started. So I'm against the Kardashians here, even though I'm currently wearing KKW fragrance. I wore it to work. It smells so good. But
on the day that we're recording.
I know, but I'm going to burn it after this. So it's my last day.
Oh my God. I love it. All right. Okay, Bass, I want to hear from you too. Obviously, like I know because, well, I know like about your like Taylor Swift journey because we lived together during the release of 1989. Oh my God. But okay. How are you feeling? How are you feeling about the album?
I don't love it. And that happens. I still remember going on a run and listening to Midnights, and I was texting you guys and I was like, I don't get it. Whatever. Like I had nothing positive to say. And then now Midnights, I think on Spotify is like my top played Taylor album. I have not come, it's only been out for less than a week. I have not come around to this album yet. I think I have a fundamentally different relationship to Taylor Swift than you two do. I'm the only one in this group that did not go to the Eras tour.
Shaking her head.
I, as Sarah mentioned, my first entryway into Taylor Swift was 1989, 10 years ago when Sarah and I lived together. And I really embraced like the pop Taylor Swift. So I loved 1989, devoured Reputation. That's still my favorite album.
Oh my God. We have two, both of you, your favorite albums, Rev.
Yes.
That doesn't happen often.
And then I like the more upbeat on Folklore. I don't love Evermore. And so then now I'm here with, The Tortured Poets, and I feel like this is an album made for Swifties that love to devour every ounce of every material that she gives. And like, I just don't fundamentally have that relationship to her music. I put it on and like, I want to be like upbeat, fun, like boom, 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 boom. So that album doesn't have that much to give that I typically look for. There are some high notes, but overall, it's like a very mid-tier album for me personally.
Wow.
I couldn't tell if you were frozen or if you were just like reacting so sadly.
No, listen, I honestly, it doesn't offend me. Like, we're going to talk a little bit about like the media's like response, and we're not going to get like so deep into it because like I haven't really like devoured like much outside of just like the songs and like the like tinfoil hat people on TikTok. But I said this to you both the other night, and I'm going to repeat it now for everyone. When Scandal broke, when Scandal broke in March of 2023, a lot of like what people were talking about, because people were like, who, like if you weren't a Vanderpump Rules fan, people were like, who is Scandoval? What is this? And like, we were just like, listen, like this was kind of like the general theme of like, if you are a reality TV fan and you stick with it through the bad seasons and like you're in it from the beginning and you promise to stay and you do, you are ultimately rewarded with like something like this happening. Someone goes to jail or somebody like a huge cheating scandal, whatever it may be. And that is the Tortured Poets Department to Swifties. Like the people that have been there from the very, very beginning have like – just like lost their minds over dissected every single lyric, figuring out what song it's about or what song who is about, whatever. We were rewarded with the truth in this album. And that's like what makes it so so monumental for Taylor Swift fans. Now, there are people that were at the Eras Tour and they were like crying their eyes out and they were like singing along to all the songs, Best Night of My Life, that like are coming on and being like, the songs are too long. It's very repetitive. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, I don't know what else like you want or expect. And it's like, it doesn't matter to me if somebody doesn't, it doesn't matter to me if somebody doesn't love it, because like it was like made for me. Like she made it for her.
You hear that? That's for you.
But like it was like made for me. Like it was made for me. So like I don't really care what like the New York Times has to say. You know what I mean? I just, it's just, that's what it is.
What a drama we're already getting. It's like minute five.
I was like so afraid to text you about this, Sarah. And I also knew we were going to be recording the pod. So
yeah, save it for the pod always. I kind of wanted the reactions, although Todd couldn't help himself. He like just told me. Sorry, my dog is barking in the back. I don't know if you guys can hear it. But yeah, that's just like ultimately how I feel about it. Like beyond, even beyond her like kind of telling, like letting us in on this giant secret that she's had for over a decade with Maddie Healy. Like it also like lyrically, it like ripped me open and turned me inside out. Like I'm like truly, I'm like, there's before Torture Poets Department and then there's after Torture Poets Department. And like when I'm listening to the album, I feel like I'm inside of it now. And like, I'm just like, I'm in the asylum. I'm stuck in there with Taylor. Like, I don't, like, I can't get out. And I told you guys, like, I'm like terrified of turning it off because I'm like terrified that I'm going to wake up and realize that the whole thing was just a dream. So that's kind of what I mean. Like, last time you heard from me, I was like, this album's great. Or I love this album. But now I'm like, this album is inside of me. I am inside the album.
It was for you. So
do you think there's anything that Taylor Swift could write and produce and make that you wouldn't gobble up, Sarah?
Okay, it's a really fair question.
Little Diane Sawyer over here.
Because ultimately always my instinct is to defend her. It is. Mm-hmm. But I have also been critical of her in the past, like particularly her music. To answer your question a little directly, is there anything that Taylor's going to put out that I'm not going to gobble up? No. Because at the end of the day, I want to hear what she has to say. Mm-hmm. But like folklore, mm-hmm. like most people's like favorite is like low for me. Like when mm-hmm. I first heard it, I loved the moment because it was COVID and we were in lockdown and we had no idea that this was coming and it was a true surprise. Like we had no teasing, no Easter eggs, nothing. It was mm-hmm. like a full surprise drop. But it's only this year that I actually really started appreciating folklore. Like I, like Todd, you have a story like this, but like I went to the bathroom during the Eras Tour during Betty. Yeah, which is like a silly, like a cardinal sin for most Swifties, I think. What did you, Todd went during Marjorie. I'm just gonna put him on blast.
Honestly, I think I brought like a crowd of people to the bathroom with me. Like I feel like I like led the line to the bathroom.
He's like whole row gets up and he's like, "Let's go."
I was like, I needed the piece so bad. I'm like, if there's a time to go, unfortunately, it's during like the Evermore set. But I didn't want to miss like Gold Rush and Co. But Marjorie, I could just like listen to.
And you knew the order of the set list going
I in? Did. Okay. I knew that Sarah and Adam didn't look at the set list, but I wanted to just because I don't know why I hate surprises, I guess. I just wanted to know what to expect. So I would do the same again.
You had to like really be prepared, like to not know what you were in for that tour. I don't even know. Like Mac was said this like a few episodes ago, like we need to have so much grace for the people that went to the first show because like they just had no clue what was like what they were in for.
Okay, Mac.
give him a break. He sat front row night one.
my God.
And then went next
to I think I was going to cry during this. That's an emotional
moment. Oh my God, he's going to hate this. He's going to hate this.
Reputation too? Is that?
Yeah, I sat with him. I sat with him. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to like befriend him. I want to sit front row.
I'm almost certain that they were at least on the floor for every single Eras show that they went to. I'm pretty sure.
They're the chosen ones. That, yes. And then wait, can I say that their baby was born on the day of this album?
Yes, we have announced the birth of the child. I know.
Look at you breaking news over here.
I think they might have said it on Adam's episode.
Yeah.
We have permission to announce, but those are the only details that we can share. Which is fair. Well, Caitlin, let me ask you this. How much money, what was the highest you were willing to go to the Eras tour in terms of price? And if you don't want to share, that's fine, because that's like your personal finances.
No.
You can just text me later.
First of all, let me share that I got married in May of 2023 last year. So I had my wedding date set before Taylor Swift announced the Eras tour. I count like all my blessings that she was in Boston the weekend of my wedding, because I knew it was such a priority for you two to go to the Eras tour. And I was like, I genuinely don't know what I'll do if like the Philly show or the New York show is the weekend of my wedding, because I knew you guys wanted to go so badly. So when I saw it was Boston, I was like, it was never a serious pursuit for me, because I wasn't going to go to Philly because that was the weekend before my wedding and didn't like, that's just too much. And then I was, now pray for me, I was in the Maldives when she was in New York. So, so it was never a serious thing. Generally about $300 is beyond that. I see diminishing returns on like the value of going to the concert. So I've paid like up to $300 to go to a show. There's people I love, Florence and the Machine, I've seen a few times, which we can talk about on this pod. But yeah. So again, I just don't, I price and schedule of my wedding, I don't think it was ever a reality. I would have loved to go. It looked like so much fun. I saw the movie in theaters, sang along, loved it, supported it. And I'm so glad you guys could go.
That's lovely. I think that like 300 is like fair for like a regular normal person. Like I think what ended up happening truly, like I think so many people like went early on, and like people just saw that it was like becoming a cultural moment, and then people were just like going to go, and now they hate Georgia Poets Department, and I'm like, you didn't deserve that.
If I could quick tell an anecdote, I was with someone who went to the Eras tour for like the hype to say that they went, and he ended up going to the bathroom for like an hour. Because he just was like, I mean, he wasn't like physically in the bathroom for now. Like he was like walking around. He checked out like the merch store. Because like he didn't care. And he didn't know any of the songs. And he was like trying to make conversation with us. And we're all like, all too well, 10 minute versions on. Like we have things to do. And we're like, we don't need small talk right now. This is not the time.
No, so, we're
like,
singing along.
Yeah. So like, I feel like the people who went there so they can say that they went, like regretted it when they got there. Because they got their Instagram story. And then they were like, oh my God, now it's 4 hours of this. So.
Okay. Hot take. So Caitlin, to answer your question, yes, I can be critical of Taylor.
She's not done yet.
Let's circle back.
All Too Well 10-minute version is too long for a concert. Like, I was like, no, I get it.
Is it because there were songs like Me that you wanted to hear and that you didn't get to hear? So you're like, the 10-minute version consumed too much oxygen, or you're just like, no, it just like didn't flow with the concert?
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with like songs that I wish he had played. Like I was just like by minute six, I was like, no, I understand.
Todd's face.
Oh my God, that was like my favorite part of the concert was the 10-minute version. Because you never heard, because that was the first time we heard it live. Like it was cool to hear a 10, and I was like, wow, I know all the words.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I knew all the words, but it was. It was...
No one doubted you. There's rumors that Sarah didn't know the words. So
we find out that I actually just like am like the biggest shit talker of 10-minute version because I refuse to learn all the words.
You bought a ticket for clout, like nothing else.
See, we love the drama.
Oh my God. All right.
I'm going to cut that part out.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about like general like media criticism because like I have to be honest, like my algorithms were just weren't feeding it to me, which like shows that like just like nothing's real and we're all being controlled by like Mark Zuckerberg and that's fine. But like, I wasn't like getting any of this. And then people just started posting all of a sudden like, wow, the criticism is so harsh. Or like, wow, the people that are criticizing it just don't get it. Or she should have released the anthology before whatever. And I'm like seeing these things and I'm like, well, I don't know where this is coming from. So I had to like actually like seek it out. Like, are you guys like getting negative reviews?
I think it's a mix. So like, TikTok, you definitely get in your echo chamber of like what you like, and it'll continue to feed that. I think Twitter is where I saw, or X is where I saw a little bit more variation in the dialogue and like reviews of what people thought. So, and then I did read the New York Times review because it wasn't behind a paywall. So I read that, and I would overall say, I think it's too polarized. I think there's people that came out and shit on it so early and so quickly. Like, I think Slate, I don't remember who else. Mm. They gave such a bad rating. And I find that those institutions, I would assume, did that for clickbait. And then I think there's, on the other end of the spectrum, people that came out in institutions that came out and gave it such glowing reviews. It's the best work she's ever done. And they did that, like, Friday morning. So
right,
I find it to be somewhere in the middle. I think the New York Times review was pretty fair. Its critiques, things like it was too lengthy, not just in 31 songs, but just some of the wording could have been more concise. That a lot of that resonated with me. So I thought that was fair. I didn't think it was like a mean review. I think they were complimentary of songs that they deserve to be complimentary of. So that was kind of my media landscape and what I saw with the album.
That's so eloquent. I'm not going to speak that eloquently. But mine has been mostly through Twitter. And I feel like mine has been very negative. But I also take people's like criticism of Taylor like very like lightly because it's so subjective that like the mm-hmm. critics, even with, like with movies, like Barbie was like one of the best movies of last year. And like there's still critics who like trashed it. That it's like, some people just like don't like Taylor Swift that like no matter what she puts out, they're going to put a negative review out. Like I have friends who like refuse to even like give it a shot because they just don't like her. But I do
so
agree with
sad what, for them.
It's true though. It's so bizarre. I think people just like one of my good friends, she doesn't like Taylor because she doesn't like her as a person. Like she knows who she is. But like because of that, she refuses to like listen to the music, which is just stupid. But to your point earlier, I did see a lot of people say like, it's wild that people are saying this is like the best album of all time, like 24 hours after it came out. Like there's 31 songs. Like
that's 2 hours.
That's like a lot to digest and like fully like absorb in less than 24 hours to make that call. So I don't know. I take it all with a grain of salt, but I did see a lot of negative reviews. And I think I told you guys this in the group text that like, to me, it's very reputation coded. Like it feels like, I saw an article that was like, are we tired of seeing Taylor Swift? Is she everywhere? Like, is she like becoming too much? And I feel like this is exactly what happened before Reputation happened. So I don't know if that was intentional or what, but just like, I can feel it coming.
That almost seems like we've discussed this. We've discussed that maybe that's a thing in this group. I was like, how you can't make lightning strike twice. Like that seems like a hard formula to replicate. To be like oversaturated, then do rep and have it like hit well. I don't know. I love Reputation. I'm so excited for the Taylor's version of it.
We'll find out. I think that I think that the anticipation of rep TV is so big that I think it will hit regardless. Mm-hmm. I think you're right, Todd. I do think that she's drumming things up purposefully. I'm certain that, like, I'm not saying anything is fake between her and Travis. I know it probably happened, like, maybe a little artificially, but, like, I believe that they are dating, that they are happy, but they're probably playing into the media a lot to, like, do this. I think that there is something, the fact that she put Thank You, Amy on this album when it had no place, like, it didn't, it just didn't, like, this album was like the moment in time, her 2 years of the greatest heartache it sounds like she has ever had. And it just didn't have any place. And there's something about it being in there that, like, I'm almost like, is Rep TV going to come out and the Vault songs are going to prove to us that it's, like, not even really about Kim and Kanye? Like, it's almost, like, freaking me out. Like,
You are in the asylum, Sarah.
No. Like, here was... to kind of bring it back, the media, I agree with you. I don't think that you can thoughtfully review an album in 24 hours, especially one like this. And that's why we're going to have, like, part 17 of Torture Poets Department reviews on this pod, because, like, there's going to be, like, more to digest and say. Damn it, I forgot where I was going. With that point.
About the Thank You, Amy part. I never, because I do remember thinking it was out of place, but I didn't tie that specific moment to Reputation. I feel like you said it very eloquently in our group text around, like, we're seeing the behind the scenes of, like, Matt Healy and her relationship, that, like, the Kim part just feels like she just, like, threw that in there. It doesn't make sense with the rest of the album.
But yeah.
Part of the album just feels thrown in. Like, it's like a spilling of guts. Like, it's if it were a more clear, concise, measured project where there were 12 songs, having something like that would stick out way more like a sore thumb, but it kind of gets drowned out because there's so much music.
I have to disagree. Just
I was going to disagree too, but I want you to.
I have to disagree with you because I think this is what I was going to say. Like you can't, like, thoughtfully, but, like, at the end of the day, you know how an album makes you feel, like, or you know how music makes you feel, and I felt something when I listened at midnight, and then I was like, okay. I'm, like, feeling really good and I'm going to put this away, and I didn't stay up for Anthology or anything like that. And I assumed we were getting something at 2 a.m. and I was like, I'll see it in the morning. Oh yeah. My arc of it. That's like, okay. Wow. There's so much to say. Okay. The arc of me listening was, oh my gosh, I really, really love this. I'm going to go to sleep. And then I went to sleep and I woke up and I was like, I still love it. Like, that is amazing. And now there's all these new songs. By the end of Friday, I was spent. Like, I was exhausted, but I was, like, happy. Like, I just kept telling everyone, like, I was like, I'm so deeply depressed, but I'm like, this is, like, the happiest I've ever been. Like, I was like living in a world made just for me, and like no one could touch me, and like that's where I was. And then Saturday I woke up and I'm like literally dancing to the music, like I'm so. And then that's when I really started to dive into the songs, and then by Sunday night I was like, help, I'm in the asylum and I can't get out. Like, I like went too deep. And the reason this brings me back to why I disagree with you. Mm-hmm. Every single, I have digested it a lot, or like the lyrics. Every single song has a place in the story of the last 2 years. And it either references something, or we are now getting clips of like her at the Eras tour and her saying things that are very coded with like the song that she recorded the night before. Like the Bolter is an example. Like I think she recorded the Bolter the night before the Nashville shows. And she kind of like talked about her life and her life making sense and how things were all clicking. And then like, that's the theme of the song. Mm-hmm. The only one that does not fit into the story is Thank You, Amy. It's the only one.
And can I piggyback on that? Because why I disagreed is because I feel – sorry. I feel like reputation is – I feel like reputation is so – I know you say that things might change, but it feels so obviously about Kim and Kanye and everything that happened with that, that like that song is – I mean, she capitalized Kim in it. Like that's – like in my mind, I was like, why wouldn't that just have been like a vault track for Reputation, because it's obviously about Kim. So that's where I was confused, because I feel, to your point, like it was a review of the last 2 years, and then this obviously happened before that. So like in my mind, I'm like, okay, clearly Reputation TV is coming next, but like why wasn't that song on it? But it gets me more excited, because that means Reputation TV vault songs are going to be amazing. So,
well, you know, it's interesting. Like, she gave us You're Losing Me before we knew about Tortured Poets Department, and then it's like we get this album. Whoa. Oh my God. Wait, so much is clicking for me right now. Whoa, whoa, whoa. She gave us You're Losing Me. We had no idea about Tortured Poets Department. We just thought we're going straight to Rep TV. She gives us this song about Joe and we're like, oh, okay, now we know what happened. Then, oh my God. Then she announces an album that we all assume is about Joe. And then we listen to it and we realize it's not really. And then she gives us this little nugget of Thank You, Amy. And we're like, okay, Rep TV, it's all going to be about Kim. What if it's not? Like, what if it's not? Like, what if this is the pattern?
I would say the one thing, I don't remember if this was my own thought or if I just saw this on Twitter and I'm like making it my own thought. But like, I feel like people said that the reason why she didn't bring up Joe in this album is like out of respect, because they were together for what, like 6 years, and like they may have ended amicably for all we know, that like maybe she just wanted to honor the relationship and not like drag him, but there's not an actual reason to drag, because as a Swiftie who's like a diehard, like I know that there's like the, what's the word, like sometimes her army can go hard on like, I like if you go on Kim's Instagram right now, there's so many like Thank You, Amy posts that like she maybe she just didn't want his reputation to be destroyed when like it was like a mutual decision to end things. So, but like,
wasn't the Tortured Poets thing like a riff on the group text that he had? So, isn't she inherently
having it in? Listen, what we know is Taylor's a liar. That's what we know. I don't believe anything that comes out of her mouth anymore. Like, now the internet has convinced me that Style was about Maddie Healy. Like, I'm not well. Like, I'm not well.
Style is not Harry Styles. How is that about Matt Healy?
Have you not been reading?
I honestly don't even have the time, Todd. Like, I don't have the time. I'll send you the thread.
Like Housewives, and then Sarah tweeting about Taylor Swift.
I'll send you the thread. I do think that there's Mac has his own theory, and I'm going to let Mac talk about his theory. I think that there's something to it, though. I think that we forget that So Long London and How Did It End are the track fives. So Long London, track five on part one, How Did It End on part two. The songs about Joe are this, what she always, like, she says track fives are her saddest songs. So she put her track fives, her saddest songs, about Joe. And I think that is very telling. And I think that you're right, Caitlin, too, like naming the album, like kind of, it's always going to like jab. One time I agree with K-Bass.
I was like, let's get through her a little bone.
I have a theory that I think that So Long London, because she says she's been writing it about 2 years, but like the Eras Tour is really only over the last year. And like, I think How Did It End and So Long London were the first two songs. I think she thought she was going to write a breakup album about Joe, and she was like, I can't do this. And for whatever reason, and she's like, okay, I told them how it ended. Now I'm going to tell them how this whole thing with Maddie started. And I'm going to tell the story from beginning to end. And that's like my theory on kind of how this all came to be. But she tricked us. She tricked us with Tortured Poets Department. She tricked us. That's what I mean by Taylor lies.
What's your question, T?
I forgot. Actually, no, I remember my question. Because I don't know why, when you said that, I thought of like this story of us, the song. And then the Post Malone song, I'm blanking on the name. Thank you. isn't there a part of the music video where they're like laying on the floor and there's a book and it says us on the front? Mm-hmm. What is that?
I think it's the story of us. Like, it's like, this is me finally telling you the story of me and this guy that you guys had no idea about for the last decade.
But the story of us, like the original song, is not about anyone recent, right? Isn't that about like John Mayer at the...
I mean, I don't even know anymore though. That's the thing. Like, like this is how messed up I am. I'm going to give you a little tidbit about the style thing. And then this is all I'm going to share because again, we don't have the time.
I can look it up later. It's totally fine.
Fortnite, but because we're talking about it, and this is actually a good segue into what we're about to talk about next. Fortnite in the music video, her and Post are on the floor staring at each other with the story of us book. When you pan out, they're in a whole thing of papers and the profile, it creates like a profile of Taylor, and it's the exact same profile that matches the one in the style music video.
Oh, I did see that. Okay.
And there's more, but like that's kind of like the big thing. Okay, so we all decided to bring, it doesn't necessarily have to be our favorites, although I think a lot of these are our favorites, to each bring a song that we want to like look at the lyrics and dissect intimately and kind of, we can use TikTok and Twitter and our own thoughts and feelings as like the perception of like what is actually going on here. And we're going to start with the like lyrical dissection. So I guess I should just ask who wants to go first.
I can go.
Okay. Caitlin, please present your, oh my God, folks, she's taking out a notebook.
She printed something out.
please present your song.
I don't even have that much about this bullet point. So I chose to talk about the song, I'm Gonna Get You Back. I wouldn't say necessarily my favorite song on the album, but I do, as someone who just loves pop music, as I said at the top, I love Olivia Rodrigo. And when I texted Sarah that I said I liked this song, you were like, it's very Olivia. And it is. So I like it. Now, I will say, when I was like doing my sleuthing, trying to read about it more online, I found an interesting Reddit thread where one user said, oh, Taylor does what Olivia did to her in a way, uses some of the concept for Olivia's song as her own to let Olivia know how it feels to have someone use your ideas without credit. Now, I'm not saying that that is like with my chest what I think happened. In my heart of hearts, I think Taylor's like here and she's like, Olivia, you're like a gnat, like you don't like,
wow,
David and Goliath, like I just don't think it's, I don't think it's comparable. So I don't think that that's truly what it was about, but I think that's an interesting theory because it is so mirrored to the I'm gonna get him back.
No, so, it's like freaky actually how similar they are. Yeah. I have a thought about it, but I can tell Todd wants to say something. I want him to go.
I've been trying to think of the tweet that I saw about that. I might have seen something similar to that. And they were like, Taylor and Olivia didn't like create like singing about your ex. Like that is such like a universal topic, especially for like women artists that like, this don't shit to you, shade to you. But it's like, sorry, is this PG? Other kids listening?
I marked it as explicit, the pod. Okay,
sorry. But they were like, I saw the things that people were saying, like, oh, like Taylor's now copying Olivia. And I'm like, Olivia didn't invent like singing about her ex-boyfriend.
But it's the pattern that the song goes. That's the name.
Together
or I'm going to fuck you up. Like, it's the...
And, I'm like, gonna, the name.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole thing with Olivia and Taylor is, like, really weird to me and still a mystery. Truly, I think that Taylor gives like a little bit insight into it's not like just Olivia, but like how she feels as an artist right now in the Clara Bow song, where it's like they said to Stevie Nicks, you look like Clara Bow. They said to Taylor Swift, you look like Stevie Nicks. Now we've got Sabrina, Olivia, Gracie, like all these like young girls coming up that she's like, we're all just being compared to each other over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that she would pick the exact same concept. I mean, Olivia did do it first. Like, she did it first. The other thing that's, like, really weird is, like, that, like, Taylor gave permission for the – I forget what it's called. I don't know, like, music terms. The New Year's Day.
I forget what Olivia's song was, but it was the one that followed New Year's Day.
Yeah, it's like, interstitial or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. she, like, gave that permission. And then later she went back and, like, for other songs, like, gave herself and Jack writing credits. I don't know. A lot of people have opinions about it. I feel like there's, like, a lot that we don't know. I also need to start with, like, I love Olivia. I think that she is an amazing artist, comma, or semicolon, or semicolon. She has music that sounds so much like other people's music. I don't believe for a second that she stole it. I think that things are just like you're influenced by Miley Cyrus, by Paramore, or whatever. I don't believe for a second that she stole it. But there is kind of this thing where it's like, Olivia, you do have the opportunity to be as big as Taylor. Like, you literally do. But that is, like, something that actually kind of needs to get in check.
Yeah, it is interesting because I agree, like, it goes beyond just, like, coincidence in some cases. But I was watching a video today where a guy was showing songs from Tortured Poets and how the chords or the beats or whatever were so iterative of prior songs of Taylor Swift. So, like, Death by a Thousand Cuts. Like, there's these songs that, so, and Taylor's fine to do that. It's her own work. It's her own catalog. I have no critique, but I just think it supports the general hypothesis that pop music is so redundant, and not in a bad way, but it's just, it's easy to find the similarities and threads between music.
But do you notice that we only look for the similarities in female artists? No one's comparing, like, Justin Bieber to Shawn Mendes to Harry Styles. Like, it's so interesting. Yeah. And they put out music. You don't listen to a Harry Styles song and be like, oh my God, that sounds like Shawn Mendes. Like, it's only with, like, Taylor puts out an album, they're comparing it to Cowboy Carter and, like, Dua Lipa singles and, like, Eternal Sunshine. Like, it's just, it's fascinating in a bad way.
Weird to get a Charlie
Puth. I actually do like Charlie Puth. He has some good songs, but I don't, did we ever find out if he, like, commented on this?
He hasn't said anything. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Getting all the money from his streams that they're all, like, he's talking to Bella Thorne, whatever they're doing.
I know. Did I talk to Bella Thorne?
No.
No.
Did Charlie Puth? Did you text Bella Thorne?
I was like, Ivan checked in. Yeah. Literally, side note, that was the one thing about the New York Times piece that pissed me the fuck off, is that I was like, why are we bringing up Cowboy Carter right now? Like, one, I think I've shared this with everyone. Like, the Beyonce Taylor Swift comparisons, like, drive me insane because they're the two biggest pop stars on planet Earth. Why are we pitting them against each other? I know why. Because of a man named Kanye. He started the whole narrative. And two, I'm like, why are we looking at both of, why are we talking about these albums in the same article? One is a story about a 10-year-long situationship, and one is a comment on race in America. Like, I don't, like,
the Venn diagram is separate circles that, like, do not.
But also, like, Beyonce and Taylor support each other. Like, they showed up to the Eras Tour.
I know.
It's not even like they're, like, have this, like, beef. Like, they're supportive of each other.
I think, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is how I know that, like, these articles should not matter to me. Because, like, I don't, like, I just, it's just, like, stupid.
I think beyond being just produce and carbs or whatever you said, I think in Taylor Swift, like, they each have their strengths, right? Taylor Swift writes, she is the writing credit on every single song in her catalog, and Tortured Poets is a reflection of that. Like, it is a reflection of being, like, her diary, her soul, whatever. Beyonce is probably arguably a better dancer, maybe can hit higher notes. She's not tied as a writer in credit on all of her music, which is totally fine. She has different strengths. So like, I think naturally the work that they put out is going to be a different reflection and like have different strengths to it.
Yes. Great. K-Mass, anything else you would like to talk about? And I want to get you back.
I forgot what we were talking about.
No, I don't really have anything. I think it's fun. I
also think it's fun. There's one thing I want to talk about. The very first line, Lilac Skirt. There's something going on with Lilac right now, because when she posted the little YouTube short of like her and Travis like kissing while they cook and like playing pickleball, she's in the lilac skirt. And then she has lilac nails.
Is lilac like a cousin of lavender in this case, or is there no connection between lilac and lavender?
Like lavender.
Oh my God. I think you cracked something.
Oh, Nancy Drew over here.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Sarah. I was just thinking.
No.
Purple here. Is there a greater connection?
Oh God, she's wearing dark purple.
Oh my God. Now, like, no one can do anything without me being like, that is so tailor-coded. Like, Adam and I play this, like, we play this, like, word scramble game. And what word came up the other yesterday? A word came up that I was like, oh my God. It must be because of the new album. And it was like Fort instead of Fortnite. All right, Todd, let's go with your song, okay, which I think is most people's favorite.
Okay, so my top song is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. I was talking to my coworkers about this today, and they literally could not give a shit. But I was like, I'll talk to anyone who will listen about this. So my top song of 2019 was Fake Smile by Ariana Grande. And it's basically like when she was going through her breakup, I think with Pete Davidson, and like she was forced to like be out in public and be present and like have a smile on her face when in reality, like, it was a fake smile and like she was absolutely miserable and depressed. And I love that song so much. But then when I heard this song, I was like, wait, this is like a better way of like wording it. And like, it was more catchy. So while I do love Fake Smile, I feel like this song is more, it's catchy. And it's also, for me, I do, to your point, I do like a poppy type song. And I think it's the fastest song on the album, which also I feel like I gravitated towards because of that. I see your mouth open. Do you want me to pause?
I just can't believe that Ari's been dethroned.
Oh, she's been dethroned. I mean, we'll wait till the Wicked movie, but conversation for another day.
Totally.
But one thing I told you guys in the group text, which I told my coworkers today, they didn't have no idea what I was talking about. But I still think like the 1, 2, 3, Let's Go, like, to me, that is literally, like, quoting the Eras Tour, that, like, she literally wanted to just, like, break down and cry, but she had to be on stage. Cause, like, people are paying, what we're talking about, like, thousands of dollars to go see her. Like, she can't be like, oh, sorry, like, I'm sad, I'm not going to perform. Like, she has to give them a show. And, like, I just can't imagine the mindfuck that must be to be, like, absolutely heartbroken and then having to, like, put a smile on and, like, hit all her dance. What did she say? Like, hit all her marks. Marks. There we go. And so it's just, like, that's why I find that song so fascinating, because I feel like when we talk about, like, we're getting a glimpse of the behind the scenes, like, that is such a glimpse that, like, when I think we said that, you said there might be another reason why she did the 1, 2, 3, 4. Didn't you say that?
Well, I thought someone was saying, like, the beat, like how they can hear in their ear when they're on stage, like, there's beats that help them, like, guide the dancing, because they can't necessarily hear, like, what they're singing. So someone said that was, like, overlaid on the track too.
Could be a double meaning.
Yeah, I think both could be true. I think both could be true. Can I go?
You're like Kristen Wiig in SNL. Like, I'm so freaking excited. That was the most natural, like, wheel or squeal, whatever I've ever heard.
Oh my God. All right. This is my podcast. So
she's like, mute. It's my turn, sweetie. You spoke too much.
I literally just mute. Everything you said is accurate.
Oh my god, I'm gonna cry. Didn't I was gonna cry on this podcast?
I might actually cry talking about this. This song for me, it sums it all up for me. Like this is the sum of it all. It is, it's like to your, when you said like, but Taylor kind of said it better. This is what she does. She puts words to emotion, like things that we have never been able to explain feelings. She gives us language to be able to describe it. And like, I just think about this and like the great, and this is kind of what I mean by like this album ripped me open and turned me inside out is like, it's the whole thing of like, she goes through this heartbreak with Joe, this person that she really like was committed to marrying. And then the whole thing with Maddie Healy, she's going through it all. And this song to me is the weight of it all. Once like that's all like disappeared, like when you are actually like it's whatever happens, right? You're in a fight with a friend, you get fired from work, like whatever it is. And then once that's gone and all you're left with are the feelings, like this song to me, even though it's like so poppy, it's the most fun. I literally dance around the house to it. I like feel heavier listening to it because like I feel the weight of everything that she had been through over the last 2 years, like crashing down on her, crashing down to the floor. And like it, even though it is about being an international pop star and hitting your marks on some way, like we all have to do this. Like the weight of life crashes us and we have to go do our jobs, take care of our kids, like be there for our friends and family, like whatever hit your mark means. And like that's, I even though her story in this song is the least relatable story of having to be on stage and set in front of 80,000 people and perform, it is like the most relatable story to me.
I think that's fair. And I think it really resonates with a lot, like you're saying, like a lot of people said it's their favorite song. And I think like a lot of women, or Taylor Swift has a lot of female fans. And I think women, straight women, tend to be the person in a family dynamic, in a relationship, that people look to carry on, to like, you know, be happy for the kids, be happy for the relationship, do everything to keep appearances like it's all okay, even when internally you're dealing with conflict, possibly in your marriage, maybe a parent sick, something like all these things where women are like, okay, like time to like tighten up and be like the okay seeming person in the dynamic.
Who do the same thing.
I just can't speak as a
guy. But I will say also, I feel like we almost talk about Taylor sometimes as she's like this like superhuman. That like, I feel like this song also puts more like, I don't know what the word is, like, I guess human, like into her, that like people forget, like I feel like in general, people forget pop stars and stars in general are like actual people with like feelings. And I feel like that's why I feel like we've connected with Taylor for so many years, because she actually like opened you up into her life in a way that like, to your point, like Beyonce is amazing, but like sometimes not all of her songs are written, like she has a lot of people, whereas Taylor is just her, like, and Jack, and like writing all this stuff. So
yes, yeah. Full body chills, like every time I listen to it. She's like the happiest night of your life was like almost killed me, like it's like what she told us. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a lot of tweets that are like Taylor literally telling us that like she's not okay and she was wishing that she was dead, and we're all like, this one's about Maddie Healy.
She's like, you guys are missing the point.
Okay. Anything else about this one?
Wait, no, Sarah, I want to hear yours.
Okay, yeah. So I took a little bit of a different approach.
Did you give us different instructions?
No, I didn't. I just like when I picked Fortnite. Fortnite has superseded I Can Do It With a Broken Heart for me. Like Fortnite, I love because I am – oh, I forgot to say this about yours, Caitlin. I Want to Get You Back has one of like the best bridges of like – what?
I need to pay closer attention.
Yeah, I'm Gonna Get You Back is like a great bridge. Fortnite's ending, it's like impossible for me to not like stand up and wave my arms. Like I just like absolutely love it. So I was really hoping that you guys wouldn't pick it, but I kind of had a feeling that you wouldn't. So I feel confident. Ooh. I went through verse by verse to kind of say like what was going on. And I think that I can do it pretty brief, but so like we start with like I was supposed to be sent away, but they forgot to come and get me. This is her like when she wrote in the foreword, like I pled temporary insanity, but like she was like stuck in the tortured poets department. Like she's like she is going insane, but they forgot to like do anything about it. So I'm just like here dealing with it.
This is all figurative, right?
What?
It's all figurative, right?
Yeah, like this is just like my interpretation, okay. But that is the lyric.
Okay.
The lyric is, I was...
No, I don't think she went to a sign either. I don't know if she, like, actually, like, raised mental health concerns. Anyway, keep going.
I don't know, because I wasn't a part of her personal life.
Okay, I didn't need to derail you.
No, you're fine. I'm just really going... All I'm going off of is what she's given us. And then, you know, functioning alcoholic, blah, 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 blah. I'm not okay. You're the reason, blah, 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 blah. What about your quiet treason? That's like Maddie Healy turning on her. Like he literally left the Eras Tour and then like went off and like per Dumois was like gossiping about like Swifties being so annoying. And that was like the worst thing of his life. Okay. This is where it gets really, really weird because then we go into for a fortnight, there we were forever running. Then it just switches all of a sudden. Sometimes ask about the weather. Now you're in my backyard, turned into good neighbors. Your wife waters flowers. I want to kill her. So to me, it's like this whole piece is like her insanity is like picturing them in like this kind of world, like where they're still who they are to each other. But like my husband is cheating and I want to kill him. Your wife waters flowers and I want to kill her because I'm obsessed with you because you're who I'm supposed to be with. Like that to me, it was like the insanity part. Mm-hmm. I read a tweet and actually I think I saved it that somebody brought up. And this is like when I like, listen, I know Swift, like internet Swifties are deranged. I absolutely can recognize it. I know that, but sometimes I'm really, really grateful for them because like they put things together for me that I like really didn't realize. Okay. So I saw this tweet from @1989Healy. Give credit where credit's due. That the Florida piece of this, so Florida is kind of everything in this album, and like Taylor like really gaslit everyone on Amazon Music because she was like, oh yeah, I write about Florida because I watched it on Dateline and that's where all the crazy stuff happens. And I was like, okay, you were such a gaslighter. Like clearly something went down in Florida. Like something bad happened in Florida during that show. We don't really know what that is yet, but it also, people are thinking that it's representative of something else because Maddie Healy in an interview talked about how he was like obsessed with the Truman Show growing up, but it was, or if you don't know the Truman Show, it's a Jim Carrey movie. You guys know, everyone else can Google it. Okay. Yes. He was like obsessed with it and he was like terrified that his life was the Truman Show. So he said this in an interview. And the Truman Show takes place where? Where you buy timeshares in Destin, Florida.
Wait, the Truman Show takes place in Destin?
Yes. Filmed in Seaside, Florida, which is like Destin.
I was like, why are we referencing Destin? Like
I
don't want to derail, but that whole song, I was like, what the hell? Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like something clearly happened in Florida and she was like, yeah, I watched a lot of Dateline. And I'm like, shut up, Taylor. So.
Oh my God. Now you're getting canceled.
I can be critical. But so this is how that to me kind of all makes sense because then we go into the part that I'm obsessed with, move to Florida, buy the car you want, but it won't start up. Florida like represents, Florida has to represent like so much stuff, but like this idea of like her mental insanity is like mirroring his like childhood, like mental insanity when he was like convinced that his life was the Truman Show. And so they're like living in this like alternate universe. So like, that's like their story, you know, whatever, if they were on the Truman Show. And then like, to me, Florida is like, it's a million metaphors across this entire album, but it's like, move to Florida, buy the car you want. Matty Healy, I guess it's been referenced, he doesn't have a car. Like, he rides a bike. That's why, like, I'm going to smash, like, whether I'm going to be your wife or I'm going to smash your bike because he only has a bike. Is like, that's like, so like Florida to me like represents that, like that thing that you want. So yeah, that's the approach I took.
Sarah like is the star student and like really did her homework and came to this.
I just feel like the more I prepare, the more I would like jumble over my words. So like I better when I speak from the heart.
No, I thought that everything that you guys said was beautiful. I've just like, I've been like obsessed with Fortnite, and like it was like from the minute it came on, it was just not what I was expecting from this album. I was expecting it melancholy. Like I was expecting it to be anthology, and then to hear Fortnite, and like I don't really know Post Malone that well, but like his music, but like now I'm realizing I'm his biggest fan. I didn't even know.
Wait, Sarah, does it surprise you that your favorite song or the song you want to talk about most is on the front half of the album, when haven't you said the anthology tracks resonate more, or am I making
they don't resonate more? I just think that they gave us more to the story. Like when I heard Fortnite, I perked up and I was like, oh my God, I think I'm gonna like this album a lot. And then when Move to Florida, Buy the Car, you, I was like, wow, I'm in. And then like I love the Torture Poets Department, like the song. And so like to go from Fortnite to that, I was like really, really bought in. So I really loved it. It's not that I resonate more with anthology. I just thought the album was, I thought like the Torture Poets Department was going to sound like anthology. And I just think that those songs make me cry more. Have you guys cried listening at all to any of the songs?
I don't know that I've ever cried listening to music.
Yeah, me neither.
Like other things make me cry. Same.
You guys have
never cried. I've never cried. Actually, no.
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 You've never cried to any music ever?
I don't think
no, so. But I do. People think I'm psychotic because I can tell you, like, if you put on a song, I can tell you, like, what year I listened to and, like, the memories connected to it. But, like, I've never, like, cried with a song. But, like, I get emotionally tied to a lot of songs. Like, I can tell you, like, every – I literally have a playlist from that – from college that, like, I listen to and it reminds me of, like, I can literally remember where I was when I was listening to it.
Wow.
So, but yeah. I mean, I love to cry. Any reason to cry, I will do it. But I don't know why.
I suggest putting on – the Bolter. Okay, to wrap this up, I want to hear your guys' top fives right now from the Torture Poets Department and or anthology. I mean the whole thing, all 31.
Okay. I can go first because I have it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so my first one is I Can Do With a Broken Heart. My second one is I'm Gonna Get You Back. My third one, I put this because that is fine because I don't know how to not be petty. I love Thank You, Amy. And all I think about is like Northwest coming home from school and like blasting that song. And if you like know North and the Kardashians, like she will do that. And I really hope they record it.
She will do that. She will do that.
She will do that. She's like a mini Kanye. I feel like you love this song, Sarah. I put the next one as Guilty as Sin. Yes.
Love.
Oh
my God. Cool. I made heart hands and then a heart exploded on the screen. That was cool.
The future.
AI.
And then the last one we kind of just talked about, it was the Bolter.
Really?
That was the reaction. Yes, the Bolter. It's proof. You guys are looking. This is the Bolter.
Wait, I'm shocked. Why? Absolutely love that song. Because I've been talking about this whole time. We haven't said anything.
Oh. Because I don't want to take the floor from you. You're so passionate.
You didn't cry.
So. I didn't cry. Yeah. I'm going to go home. Well, you I didn't am home. Your stripes. Yeah, so true.
Okay, K-Bass.
Okay, this is not in any order, but I'm going to get you back. I can do it with a broken heart. Thank you, Amy.
Are you just reading my list?
Mine are all the poppy ones. These, now we go. But Daddy, I love him. Mm. And my boy only breaks his favorite toys.
I was not into that one. But again, that bridge is, I think, the best bridge on the whole album. So, like, it's worth it for me to listen mm-hmm. to the whole thing to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say one more thing? Yeah. There is one song that I really wanted to like, but there's a part that she it's Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. There's a part of the song when she screams it, and I had to shut it off. It was annoying. But then the rest of the song is so good.
Oh, so wow. You're like the only one. That's like TikTok's favorite song.
Is it really?
Well, again, on my algorithm.
Favorite song.
It's not in my top five. It's not. It's like a lot of people's, but it's not. I don't
care. Okay. It's a good song. I just don't like the one part where she like screams it.
What are your top five?
Yeah. Okay. So I gave a top five in the last episode. That was 24 hours out. So like I have like a new one now that I've really sat with it, especially since I've dove into anthology. Mm-hmm. I will say today, was it today or yesterday? I made a list of songs specifically from this album that I can never live without. And it was 23 songs long. So that'll just tell you like what this album is like, it's just doing it for me. But my top five are Fortnite, Black Dog. Oh, Black Dog is so good. And if it's not in your top five, you're not correct. And then, yeah. Mm-hmm. I said it. I can do it with a broken heart. Guilty as Sin. Oh my God. Such a bop. I screamed it in my car today. People were like, oh, I don't like this because I can't drive around with the windows down on a Friday. And I was like, no, you can.
You're so doing it wrong.
Yeah, Guilty as Sin is so good. And then The Bolter. So cute. So much crossover between us.
Oh my. Yeah.
That's guys, fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This was so fun.
This was so fun. I really appreciate it. And it's good. It's like always good to be like humbled, which I feel like you guys do for me.
Sarah humbled us.
I was saying, I feel like you humbled us. I don't think it was the other way around, sweetie.
No. I think it, I to bring it all first full circle, like it is, my first instinct is always to defend her. It is important to take a step back and to like take a step out of it. When with Midnight and like quite frankly Evermore, like I got nasty with people over Evermore because like I just like did not understand why people didn't like that. Like I think that it's like fantastic, and this album sounds like Evermore to me, especially anthology. So like that's all kind of making sense. But like Midnight, I was just like, I was like kind of getting like mad at people for like not, because I just felt like kind of what you were saying, Todd, like people didn't want to give it a chance, so they didn't give it a chance. And it was like bugging me. I don't have that anger with this album. Like, maybe it helped me release that. But, like, just, again, like, I'm just like, oh, if you don't like it, you don't get it. And, like, that's fine. Like, it's just not for you. Like, music is subjective. It's really not made for the masses. And, like, it's usually the stuff that's not made for the masses that, like, will have the most effect on people, whether it's negative or positive. So that would be my closing statement. We're snapping, but none of us are very good at it.
Speak for yourself.
All right. Thanks. Till next time. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed what you heard, and if you did, I encourage you to like and subscribe. Maybe leave a little review. Perhaps you could even share the episode with your friend. We'd like to give a special thank you to Jack McCarthy for producing our music and recording our intro. You can find more information about his work at the link in our episode description. We'll see you next time on Look What She Made Us Do.